Blog Talk Radio.
Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson.
I'm Dr. Reggie Johnson.
We're your hosts this morning as we continue our powerful book study of Joshua David Stone's book entitled Soul Psychology. We're learning how to clear negative emotions and spiritualize our lives. Wow, I am so enjoying this book. How are you this morning, Dr. Reggie?
I think I'm doing okay.
You think?
Yeah, I think I am. I'm really good. I didn't get much sleep, but I kind of rested off and on.
Well, I'm really hyped up this morning. You know why?
Yes.
I got no sleep, and I'm running off of caffeine. So, anyway, you know what? I'm going to ask you to do our opening prayer.
Okay. Lord.
Help me.
Bless the listeners and give them the wonderful wisdom that they need to get through the day and in their lives, and show them and bestow upon them healing, prosperity, and love. Mm-hmm. Most of all, love. Let their hearts open, be open and receptive, and their minds open and receptive to your heart and mind. Blessing everything that they do and every move they make. Watch over them and protect them in all their affairs, and take charge over them. I believe it is so today and always, and so it is.
And so it is. So we are, first of all, I just want to let you guys know, it's been a little crazy for me at work, and so I've put up a series of replays, but I am pre-recording these lessons for the week. So even though it's pre-recorded, it's the current book study that you'll hear this week. Today's lesson is on Chapter 8 of Joshua Stone's book, and we're moving into dealing with the human aura and the seven bodies. And he opens the chapter with a quote by Ronald Beasley that says, "Our life course, our habits, our health, and mental appreciation. In fact, our life history is written in color, forms, and lines comprising the energy field of our several levels of being," or you could call it the seven levels of conscious state. So, There are seven dimensions of reality, there are seven invisible bodies around every physical form. We have an etheric body, we have an astral body, a mental body, a soul or causal body, a buddhic body, an atmic body, and a glorified light body. And we covered this earlier in the book. There are other bodies beyond this level called celestial bodies, but they are beyond our comprehension at this level of our evolution. But each body has a characteristic or a quality of energy that is associated with it. And the physical body has to do with instinct. The etheric body is the vital force or the vital energy. And the astral body deals with desires and feelings and emotions. The mental body deals with the concrete mind, and the soul or causal body with the abstract mind. The buddhic body is intuition. The atmic body deals with spiritual will. So in this chapter, we're going to discuss each of these bodies individually. We should plow through this fairly quickly today so we can move on. So the physical body is not really necessary. We are all very familiar with it. The only thing that I would add is that the physical body is the temple for the incarnating soul extension. It is an instrument and a vehicle of exploration of the physical world, just as the physical body is the vehicle for the manifestation of soul on this plane of existence. The soul is the vehicle on a higher plane for the manifestation of spirit. So a great many people don't realize the importance of helping the physical body to evolve along with the other bodies, for it is impossible for those with coarse, dense bodies to contact high vibration. So refinement of the physical body is essential. Many spiritual aspirants work on evolving the other bodies and not the physical body. And as a result, they get sick because of the discrepancy in the vibrational frequency. You see, everything is about alignment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say kind of equilibrium in a way, and frequency, it really is. So he says that many, it is not the purpose of this book to be a manual on how to care for the physical vehicle. However, the following simple suggestion below is extremely helpful. Number one, you need to adhere to a daily physical fitness program and eat pure food and develop good sleeping habits. I guess I missed that one today. And spend at least 10 to 20 minutes a day outside if possible, because the sunlight actually kills many germs and frees one from disease, as well as vitalizes the etheric body. So you want to maintain cleanliness and use a lot of hot water, both internally and externally. And, of course, you need to avoid sugar and artificial stimulants and drugs. And then here's the number one thing, create time to play. Create time to play, to relax and enjoy life. Everything is not always about work. So the etheric body or the etheric double is an exact replica of the physical body. It is the superstructure upon which the physical form is built. And there's nothing in the manifested universe, nothing in the manifested universe is without an etheric body or an energy form. You know, I was looking at some pictures on the internet of one of the astronauts had taken pictures of the thunderstorms from 400 miles above the planet Earth. And what I saw was this light film, a light, it was very light, like an aura around the planet Earth, right on the horizon. It was electric blue. It was beautiful. And I would guess that is the Earth's etheric body. It goes completely around the Earth. It's absolutely beautiful when the sun hits it. So the etheric body governs and conditions the outer physical body. The function of the etheric body is to store the rays of the sun's light and heat and to transmit them via the spleen chakra to all parts of the physical body. You know, just whenever I hear these things, it just amazes me at the structure, the organization of our bodies in relationship to the planet and the universe. And we don't even pay any attention to these things. most of the time. We're so involved in, you know, going to work and driving and taking care of the kids. We don't stop to really think about these things. And it just blows me away. Excuse me. So the etheric body is a web. It's a network of fine interlocking channels that are called nadis. And during incarnation, the network of nadis form a barrier between the physical and the astral plane. So if you have taken large amounts of drugs, what happens is that you break this etheric webbing, which may leave you unprotected from lower astral energy. The etheric body is also called the energy battery of the physical body. Congestion in some part of the etheric body can lead to many forms of disease and to a lack of mental clarity. But you can revitalize and control your etheric body through thought. And you can bring it into full activity simply by right thinking. You see, most diseases, the physical body suffers from you can usually trace what your physical body is going through. If it's suffering with a disease, you can trace it to the etheric and to the astral body. But the principal ways to maintain a healthy etheric body are getting sunshine and eating healthfully, and there's emphasis upon proper proteins and vitamins, and avoiding being fatigued and worrying. If it keeps the etheric body worrying. The astral body relates us to the astral plane and to our desires and feelings and emotions. So if we run by our astral body, our feelings, our emotions and desires, the astral body ends up running the conscious mind instead of the conscious mind having self-mastery over our emotions. Now, you know, the Hicks material tells us, how do you feel? Pay attention to your emotions. This is your Geiger counter. But the other part of that is we need to be in control of our emotions. And here he's saying that if you're not in control of your emotions, then it's your astral body that's running your life. Many people travel in this body when they experience astral projection. We all do this when we have dreams of flying in this body. And some people have developed the ability to travel in this body consciously. The limitation of this is that you can travel only in the astral plane. If you travel in your soul body or light body, you will have a greater range of dimensions in which to travel. And I can tell you, it's very liberating for you when you realize that you can move beyond your physical body and travel into different places and experience different things. It's not impossible, but it requires practice and discipline. So the great teachings of Hinduism and Buddhism emphasize the need to eliminate desire. This means that the only desire, your only desire, should be liberation and God realization instead of all the material desires of the negative ego. That's a big step because we are totally consumed with being consumers. Aren't we, Dr. Francis?
Mm-hmm, we are.
We are so consumed with being consumers. It is the foundation of our society here. So don't beat yourself up if it takes you a little time to get over it, okay? The great teachings of the astral body receives the impression of every passing desire it contacts in the environment, every sound, causes it to vibrate. Your great need as a spiritual aspirant is to train the astral body to receive and register only those impressions that come from the higher self. Your aim is to train the emotional body so that it will become as still and clear as a mirror, reflecting perfectly your inner and outer state. The words that describe the emotional body in its desired state are still, serene, unruffled, quiet, at rest, and clear. Wow. That's talking about, to me, I'm hearing meditation, I'm hearing focus and concentration. That's Dr. Reggie's number one quote to me. Focus, concentrate. There's a stillness and peace. So he talks about stilling the emotional body. And the word I'm saying here is to how to still the emotional body. Not still like taken away or stolen, but being quiet in your emotional body. Alice Bailey, who presented much of the teaching of Joyce Kuhl in her book, has elucidated how to still the emotional body. So here are the steps. Number one, constantly watch all of your desires and your motives and wishes that cross the horizon daily, and subsequently emphasizing all of those things that are of a high order and inhibiting those things that are of a lower order. So pay attention. You see, wishing and desiring all have a frequency and a vibration, and it's impacting your emotional body. So you want to pay attention to those thoughts, those desires, and those wishes, and you want to only deal with the ones that are on a higher frequency and not the ones on a lower frequency. By a constant daily attempt to contact the higher self and to reflect its wishes in life. Wow. You want to have regular periods of daily meditation. And you want to specifically direct the stilling of the emotional body, getting it quiet, getting it still, getting it centered. Because each of us must discover for ourselves when we yield most easily to violent vibrations, such as fear and worry, or personality desire of any kind, personality love of anything or anyone, discouragement, or oversensitivity to public opinion. Then we must overcome the vibration by imposing on it a new rhythm, definitely eliminating and reconstructing it. So here's an example. You watch something on the news, and it's really kind of aggravated you, and you're telling your friends, you know, I just don't think this is right. This is really, you know, it bothers me, and I'm just upset over it. And what he's telling us here is that you have to shift that from that energy and move to find a way to quiet that emotional part of you, that part that's angry, that part that is frustrated, that part that is judging. You need to make it quiet. You need to still it. Okay? So by working on the emotional body at night under the direction of more advanced souls, by working under the guidance of a master. So when illusion and glamour have been overcome, what happens? The astral body fades out in the human consciousness. There is no desire left for the separated self, and ego disappears, and man is then regarded as consisting essentially of soul and mind and brain within the physical body. You know, when we can get our emotions in line, I think a lot of the old folks call it finding your peace, not letting anything disturb your peace. That's being in control of your emotions. All right, we're going to talk about the mental body. And I'll try to get to the soul and causal body and the Buddhic body today. And that'll almost, and then we'll pick up the rest tomorrow. The mental body is associated with the mental plane and the concrete mind. So refining and developing this body, it takes hard work and discrimination. You need to think clearly, not only about things that arouse your interest, but on all matters affecting your life and humanity. Mental clarity means having the ability to make thought forms out of thought matter and then to utilize those thought forms to help others. So it is important to learn how to still the mental body so that abstract thoughts and intuition can enter a receptive mind and inscribe themselves. So there are two qualities that should be developed above all else. There's the unshaken perseverance and fortitude and an ability to avoid undue self-analysis. Okay? The capacity to persevere explains why the non-spectacular man or woman often attains initiation before the genius. Because remember the example of the tortoise and the hare? Over-analysis can lead to a kind of paralysis. How many of you have been around people that can't get anything done because they're telling you the best way to do it, and if you do it this way, and that conversation goes on and on and on, and no action is taken? They just get stuck in the planning mode, how to move it forward. That's what he means by this overanalysis, and that causes paralysis. So the mental body remains clear when you maintain a good mental diet. Every thought that comes from your subconscious mind or from other people to be examined to determine if it is of God or not of God, if it is truth or illusion. So if it is positive and of God, then let the idea into your mind. But as you would good food into your stomach, if it is negative and not of God, deny it entrance in your mind. The ongoing process of remaining conscious and vigilant and not going on automatic pilot will keep your mental body clear. You know, I have become so sensitive to things that I hear now. I literally, if it's negative, I get such a jolt in my body. It's almost painful. When I hear people speak negatively of themselves, oh my goodness, it makes my hair stand on edge. So I can guarantee you that when you put these things in practice, you will be surprised how you hear things differently and how it impacts you. He says, keeping your mental body clear will help to keep your emotional, etheric, and physical bodies clear. For it is your thoughts that create your reality. And this last point cannot be emphasized strongly enough. And that's the major lesson here on Circles of Prosperity. Your thoughts create your experience, create your reality. So what are you thinking? What are the qualities of your thoughts? The soul or the causal body exists on the higher mental plane, and this characteristic is the abstract mind. The causal body is the temple of the soul. Isn't that beautiful? It is the storehouse of all of our good karma and virtue from all of our past lives and the present life. And the causal body is a collection of three permanent atoms enclosed in an envelope of mental essence. And these three permanent atoms are recording devices for our physical, astral, and mental bodies. And these permanent atoms, they record our karma. Now, Dr. Reggie, would this be the Akashic record?
Yes. Because that's the universal knowledge of everything. Mm-hmm. The Akasha is where all life is restored.
Mm. So, in our very first incarnation on Earth, our causal body was a colorless, a void, holding the soul like a yolk within an eggshell.
Mm-hmm.
And as we incarnated over and over again, we built good karma and virtue into our causal body, and it began to become a thing of rare beauty, containing within itself all the colors of the rainbow. Isn't that absolutely beautiful?
It is.
You are just magnificent being. Listen to how he describes it. It is so poetic. Okay, so the Buddhic body is associated with the Buddhic plane, and its characteristic quality is intuition. After passing the fourth initiation, one lives in the Buddhic body. See, I think that's where Dr. Reggie is, because he is so in tune with his intuition and he pays attention to it. That's always, that directs every phase in his life. Every area is based on his intuition. The atmic body is associated with the atmic plane, and its characteristic is spiritual will. And this is the body one inhabits upon passing the fifth initiation. And then we move to the glorified body, and this is the body that we will inhabit at the time of our ascension, when we achieve complete merger with the monad, or the mighty I Am presence on earth. At that time, our entire being, including our physical body, will merge into more light. It is the light body that we officially step into. It is, in a sense, the wedding garment that we are creating day by day as we travel the path of initiation. I love this. It is made of the light that we create in our daily lives. And the body is not fully complete until just before ascension itself. Oh, that light body is something. That light body is really something.
You know, you should tell people, you know, how powerful you are. You are walking, talking, rainbow-colored energy field of love.
Yes, you do. That is, that's one of your more beautiful thoughts. Quotes, I love that. So we're going to go ahead and end our show this morning. Well, I want to cover the aura before we end the show because, you know, a lot of times they have these aura cameras that can take pictures of your aura. Many of you already know what the aura is. It's this light energy on the body that takes on different colors. And each color in the human aura indicates a specific characteristic. So red, you might want to make a note of this. Red, the color red reflects the physical aspect of the mind, such as passion and anger and physical desires and emotion and vigor and vitality. It's related to the first ray quality of the will, and we're going to get into the rays, the discussion of the rays, later on in the book. But blue, the blue color reflects the religious or the spiritual phase of the mind. The yellow color reflects the intellectual pursuits, such as logic and induction and active intelligence. The white color represents pure spirit, I know that Dr. Reggie's mystery school students know this already.
Mm-hmm. About the Nadis, too.
Mm-hmm. The black is the absence of color.
Right.
Gray is the, in the aura, reflects the negative thoughts and emotions. Violet is a very spiritual color. It usually indicates an evenness of mind and a searching for a cause or religious experience. It has been associated with transmutation because of its connection with the seventh ray. And then, of course, there's orange. And that's a good vital shade of orange that usually indicates thoughtfulness and consideration of others, and is connected with the fifth ray energy of concrete science. And our last one is the green color, and that usually deals with healing and is helpful and strong and friendly. It is a color that doctors and nurses often wear. It is connected with the fourth ray energy of harmony through conflict. So there's a color chart included in the book. I hope you guys have bought this book, because I told you it's a manual and a workbook. But he has included a color chart and from the book by Edgar Cayce called Auras. And what is interesting in this chart is that it also shows the afflictions or the negative aspects of each color in addition to the positive qualities. So the diagram shows the planet and musical notes connected with each color as well. So you'll find it very, very interesting to look at that. So tomorrow we're going to talk about our 22 chakras. How many of you knew that we had 22? I thought we only had seven. You know, a lot of people only focus on the seven. But he's going to share with us how we have 22. So we'll pick up that lesson tomorrow. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful lesson of learning about, at the core, who we really are. Every fabric of our being, there's always you. No matter what we do to divide our energy, our spirit, or the seven levels of reality in these bodies, there's always you who's orchestrating everything in the fabric of our being. As we learn about these wonderful things and our wisdom of who we are intellectually, let us learn to use them actively to help other people improve the quality of their lives as well as ours and all of nature, getting to be a part of everything that is. And we thank you for it. And our minds, and our hearts, and our connection to everything in the universe. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. You guys have a great week. We'll be here tomorrow.